with Allison Gingras here on Real Life Radio. We are going to wrap up our awesome discussion that we've had all week with on the book, The Grace of Yes, Eight Virtues for Generous Living, with the author herself, Lisa Hendy, founder of CatholicMom.com, and as I said, the author of this wonderful book, The Grace of Yes. Before I welcome her on, I want to begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of people who are able to write just beautiful things, Lord. We thank you for people who are willing to read and share and open up their hearts and their minds, Lord, to what you have for them in this journey that we call life towards you. And we just thank you for all your blessings and graces as we journey together through this hour. We ask all this through your Son's most precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I want to offer a great big welcome to my friend and the author of The Grace of Yes, Lisa Hendy.
Hi, Allison.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for joining me and being my very first guest.
Oh, I'm so honored, and thank you so much for what you've given this week and all the energy that you've put into this. It's just a gift to be with you.
Oh, thank you so much. We have had a really great time with your book. Regardless of the technical difficulties, we've still managed to get in some great discussion about The Grace of Yes, and we're excited to have you here to continue that discussion today.
Well, I'm psyched to be with you.
And we're also very grateful to Ave Maria Press for putting this book out, and we're grateful for your yes to God to write this. So how did this all begin?
Well, Allison, you and I have been friends for a long time now. We're so blessed to know each other in the real world, along with our friendship online. And so you know that last year was kind of a transitional year for me with my younger son, Adam, going off to college for the first time. And while I've written books in the past, they've been primarily books for Catholic moms related to the work that we do at CatholicMom.com. So this book was really kind of an intentional transition from that previous work and a goal to kind of start building towards what my future is going to look like and how, you know, as I was considering, you know, now that I'm a Catholic mom in a new way and as an empty nester, what does that mean for my yes to God and, you know, what is my life going to look like from here? So I started kind of considering those themes, and that led to this desire to really write a book that would share, you know, how I feel, this is important, what I struggle with, you know, what I'm learning, and also to kind of broaden the audience that I've reached through my previous books. This is not a book that's just for moms or even just for Catholics. Mm-hmm. I really think anybody can learn something and benefit from reading it. So, you know, that's how it started, and the journey has been amazing.
Well, I do notice from reading this book and from knowing you, you really made yourself very vulnerable. You really put yourself out there, which I think helps the audience, the people reading your book, connect with you in such a real and authentic way. What was the hardest part of making that transition from writing, you know, the books that you had in the past, which, by the way, are also fantastic, to this more vulnerable type of book?
The hardest part. You know, it's interesting. I mean, you know this, Alice, from being a blogger, that, you know, when you work online and when you share so much of your life, that, you know, there's a transparency that kind of begins to develop in your writing. And so I felt like with this book that for it to be really effective, I was going to have to be pretty darn honest about my own struggles. Of which a fair amount, as any person of faith deals with. But I think the hardest thing is just realizing, like, with a blog, you can hit the delete button or you can edit. with a book, you know, once it's on the paper or in the Kindle, then you're not getting it back. And so while I was writing, you know, I was really just praying. I feel such a trust in God's will for this that, you know, He gives me everything that I need to serve Him, and if I can be obedient to that, then it's worth the risk of embarrassment or whatever might come with it. because hopefully when we share, you know, the honest parts of what's challenging about this, you know, that encourages others along their journey. So while some of it is, you know, not the most beautiful picture of Lisa Hendy that I had ever painted, that's it, you know. So I took the risk to be honest. And the other part of it is that my husband, Greg, was really supportive of the project, which is important because, you know, I discuss our relationship in this too. So I wouldn't have done that without his support for what I was writing.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said about the honesty. You know, like, I think when people show that they, too, don't have it all figured out, that this is a journey, that they have their good days and their bad days, I think it really helps the rest of us who are trying to journey alongside, and we're kind of turning to the bloggers and to the authors to kind of give us a little, you know, guidance. When we see that you, too, are the same as us and that you are struggling alongside, it really helps us open up our hearts, I believe.
You know, I'm just so convinced about this idea that, you know, God has an amazing plan for all of us. And you can look at your life, Allison, and see, you know, if you had decided 5 years ago that you were going to have a radio show and you were going to, you know, be going around speaking around the country and all this, you probably wouldn't have thought it possible. But when, you know, when we trust that plan that God has for us and we give ourselves fully to it, it's just amazing what he can do. And I look at my life and think, you know, I'm a wife, I'm a housewife from a suburb in California. And, you know, I really have no business, you know, doing a lot of what I've done. But, you know, I just really feel like that it's really, you know, God's plan that this would happen, because the pieces of it don't logically make sense. And in that reason, I hope that when people look at the work that I've done or the work that you've done, Allison, that they see that God has placed these same ingredients within them to do amazing work for him. That it could be any of us who have these opportunities. And the opportunities will look different, but they're there when we give our lives over to God's plan.
Amen to that. We are talking to Lisa Hendy, the author of The Grace of Yes, 8 Virtues for Generous Living, and the founder of CatholicMom.com. If I have a whole slew of questions, but if you have questions for Lisa, we want to invite you to join the conversation at 855-949-1380. Lisa, my group, my Bible study group that comes to my house, we are doing The Grace of Yes right now. We had our first meeting on Monday, and I got the greatest compliment of my life. One of the ladies said as she was reading the book, oh, you sound just like Lisa. I thought, oh my goodness, that was the nicest thing anyone ever could have said to me.
How sweet. Well, I think that's a compliment for me.
See, we do sound exactly alike.
You know, I'm glad that your group is reading it, and we intentionally put we put reflection questions at the end of every chapter. There are 8 chapters in the book, and we did that intentionally so that hopefully, you know, groups would come together and read this, and that it would prompt some really great discussion. So I'm really happy to hear that you guys are using it.
And the discussion questions really did do a wonderful job in opening up discussion. It really helped us guide where we were going. I know a lot of people are afraid to start a group with, you know, in their own home or at their church because they don't know how to lead it. And I love when I find a book like yours, The Grace of Yes, in the back where it has these questions where it's kind of a no-brainer about how you're going to run it. You're going to read the book, you're going to sit together, and you're going to start with question one. And trust me, the questions themselves just quickly opened up conversation within our group.
Yeah, I would be interested to see. I haven't used it that way myself yet, so I'll be interested when I can to see. I know how I react to those questions, but to see how others do would be really very special for me. So I'm glad the group is finding it helpful.
We will definitely share with you how we're doing. But we have seen some book club discussions about The Grace of Yes with Catholic Mom the end of 2004. Had the book club, and the discussions are still up there on the website. How did you feel about that? You know, when people read your work and then here's this open discussion, how was that like for you?
Yeah, that was an amazing thing. And in the late months of 2014, we launched that virtual book club, and it's something that we've been doing at Catholic Mom over the last several months. And just so the men in your listening audience, of which I know there are many, don't tune out now, these are really welcome to anybody. And we actually had a couple of male writers that participated in this and a lot of male commenters. But what we did with the virtual book club is we took it week by week and took one chapter per week. And we had a team of eight writers that each took a chapter, and they kind of not really, I wouldn't say they described the chapter, but they really kind of offered their reaction personally to it. And then they prompted the listeners or the readers with their own questions. And what happened in the comment boxes was really amazing, because you just saw these conversations come to light that were so fascinating. And that's the journey, you know, the joy of sharing that journey with other people, because for me to see, you know, how, first of all, how the writers reacted, and then also how the commenters were reacting and what they were saying was, you know, just a real gift, really, really amazing. And some of the sharing that happened there, I thought, wow, this is like fodder for a whole second book, you know, just based on some of these conversations.
I did join in when I could, and I agree with you 100%. It was really amazing the way that people reacted to what you wrote, but then again, what other people wrote, and the reflections from the people who led those particular weeks. We are talking with Lisa Hendy, the author of The Grace of Yes. If you have any questions, call in at 855-949-1380. This is A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Real Life Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Real Life Radio. We are blessed to be speaking this morning live with Lisa Hendy, the author of The Grace of Yes, Eight Virtues for Generous Living, offered by the wonderful Ave Maria Press. Welcome, Lisa.
Thanks, Allison.
So one of the things I was saying in the first session, how awesome it was. One of the ladies in my group, my Bible study group, said that I sounded like you. And the line that she picked out was when you talk about in the first chapter, The Grace of Belief, how it's easier for you to speak to like 1,000 strangers than your closest relatives. I say
Ouch.
This all yeah. the time.
And you, so now, did you relate to that one?
Very much so. I could talk to even not just relatives, but anyone that knows me. Like, I can talk about God to anyone, but when it gets to those people who know you the best, I think it becomes really difficult. You know, we just went through the holiday season, and I was wondering how, having come to this realization and written about it and, of course, reflected on it, did you feel that anything was differently this time around, this holiday season?
You know, this has been a thing for me. My kids are, well, I have one that's about the same age as one of yours, Allison. They're older, 23 and 20, and so now we're entering into their young adult years. So I you know, I'm relating to them in a different way than, you know, when they were little, and just having conversations about faith with them. And I also have a couple of family members that I'm journeying with as they're trying to sort through their own yes belief in their life and what it means. And, you know, some of those people have been raised Catholic, and others of them, you know, it's a new thing for them. And I always find it interesting that I'm far less, I exercise a lot of caution when I talk about topics of faith with my close relatives, because I know their backstories, and I also know, you know, what will push them away rather than drawing them in. And I think that's a good thing that we exercise that caution, but also I think I'm guilty sometimes of holding back too much. You know, with some friends and loved ones that can really use a little bit more of a gentle push than what I'm willing to give them. Because, you know, unlike a group of 1,000 people where we stand up, Allison, and we give a talk and then we walk out, you know, at the end of it, we don't walk out on our closest relationships. And those are, you know, when we have a conversation that's challenging and difficult, we'll be, you know, maybe waking up in bed with that person the next morning or looking at them across the dinner table. And so there's a larger context. And I would say that working on this project and writing that line in particular makes me more cognizant of those moments when they're happening, and it makes me realize very often my tendency to want to pull back, but then also, you know, reminds me to offer a quick prayer up to God and then to dive in instead. I won't say that I'm perfect at that now, but I think I'm learning to recognize when I'm starting to do that and pushing myself a little bit.
Yeah, I can't remember, because I read so much of what you write, whether it was in your book or if you read it on one of your blogs, but I remember you sharing a story about somebody who'd come back to you who was getting excited about perhaps coming back to the faith. And you related how you were, you know, so excited for them and you had a great discussion, but you had failed to invite them to Mass. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, that actually is in the book, and it's a loved one in my life who was raised Catholic, and for a variety of different reasons separated themselves from the church probably about 7 or 8 years ago, and with a strong statement that they were done with the church and hurt by the church and weren't coming back, and began to practice their faith in another church, and then pretty much stopped practicing in general at a certain point. And that person was at my house for a visit, and I how in the context of that evening, we were having a barbecue. The person was at our house, and that person and I were having this great conversation. You know, about he told me, you know, with Pope Francis, I just really feel like I'm being called. You know, there's something happening in my heart, and I really feel like I'm being called in a special way. And I shared in the book that, you know, I gave him all this advice about, you know, read these books and check out this great app and, you know, all these things that he could do, you know, to encourage his return to the church. But I didn't realize until the next day when I was actually in Mass and I saw the seat next to me empty, that seat was destined for him. And that the one thing that I hadn't done was say, please come with me to Mass tomorrow morning. I want to come pick you up and, you know, we'll have coffee afterwards and we'll talk. And it was like I took all the prelim steps, but the one thing that he really needed, which was companionship on that journey, you know, somebody to almost maybe literally hold his hand as he came back, I dropped the ball. And that left a very big ache in my heart.
Yeah. That part, I remember when I read it, the same reaction, I had that reaction, that ache in my heart, because I myself thought of how many people I had encountered who had asked me about my faith, and I'd shared so enthusiastically, but never once even thought to say, would you like to come to Mass with me? That really also, it just hit a nerve. We are talking with Lisa Hendy, the author of The Grace of Yes. If you have a question for Lisa and you want to join the conversation, please give us a call at 855-949-1380. Now, Lisa, you also added to my vocabulary with The Grace of Yes with the chapter called The Grace of, you know which word I'm going to say, right?
Yes, I do, because everyone keeps accusing me of making up this word, generativity.
Thank you for saying it for me. I knew you didn't make it up, but I'd never heard it before. Can you tell me about where this word came from and how do we say it again?
Sure. You know, it's actually something that was new to me, to my editor. When I started working on that particular chapter, my editor pointed me to that word, and she said, this is what you're describing, and so you needed to go do a little bit of research on this. And so I thought, wow, is it really a real word? And you know, I really didn't have the context to it, but it was actually a word that was brought into the popular lexicon by a psychoanalyst named Erik Erikson in the 1950s. And it really relates to this concern that we have for building a relationship with the generations that come after us and for seeing them grow and succeed. So for our work to be generative, it means that we focus less in our work on, you know, how we will be acclaimed or be thought successful in our work, and more so on how the work that we do nurtures and builds up and casts a spotlight on the generation that comes after us. So if you think about your family, Allison, mm-hmm. you know, you've given your life to raising your children, and your love for them is generative because, you know, you're not raising your children to have everybody say, oh, Allison is such a great mom. You're raising them to go out into the world and to be amazing people and to do amazing things for God out in the world.
You give me more credit than I deserve. I am kind of doing it for the accolades. And the mug.
Well, I think any mom would say that we beam with pride when our kids do something great. But I think the goal for our family life should be a generative kind of love. And when I learned about that and I started mm-hmm. to really dig into it, I thought, that's the legacy that I want to leave in my relationships and in the work that I do is, you know, that when something great happens, people don't necessarily look at me. They look at the entity, the organization, or at the other person and say, wow, you know, they're doing some great things.
Well, I, as a person who has been a benefactor of your desire to be like that, I can say that you have actually absolutely made that come to life in your own work and being generative. See, I can't even say it. You know, I really stumble with big words.
Generative.
Generative. See, that's not as hard when you say it, repeat it after someone. I really have seen that. I've seen that with, you know, with CatholicMom.com, how many voices are now able to be heard through that website and through the platform that you have generously given to us. But you don't think of it as yours. I love that. You look at it like this is God's gift and he's just using it through you.
And so often I think, wow, he could have chosen someone more effective to lead that. But it is a really good example. And I mean, just look at the example of Jesus with the disciples, you know, that he realized that the church was going to need leaders, you know, and he sent them to do this and equip them and, you know, and then trusted to. You know, did they make mistakes and fail? Yes, and we all do. But that's a great example for us in work that we do. And really, I think, like, for me now at this point, and if you could call it a career, whatever it is that I spend my days doing, those are the best parts of my days when I can, you know, sit with somebody who's never written before and encourage them and give them loving feedback and help them, because I know that there have been so many people that have done that for me along the way, and mm-hmm. that's what this is all about.
And I think that is exactly what you're, you know, the grace of yes, the God used us because we said yes. We allowed God's grace to move within us, and whether we saw what he was doing is or not, we accepted that yes. And I love that your book helps us all get to that point of trying to say yes to God's call in our life. We are talking with Lisa Hendy, the author of The Grace of Yes. You're listening to Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Real Life Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Real Life Radio. We are blessed to be joined today by Lisa Hendy, the author of The Grace of Yes, 8 Virtues for Generous Living, which has been our companion for this week's discussion. If you have any questions for Lisa, please feel free to call in and join the conversation at 855-949-1380. I also want to remind people that I'm giving away a copy of Lisa's book. I'll be picking the lucky winner this weekend. I might keep it up till Sunday. But if you go on to reconcile to you.com under A Seeking Heart or the Seeking Heart Facebook page. You can find the raffle copter there, which will allow you to get a chance at this book. I'm also giving away, I happen to be one of the lucky contributors to As Morning Breaks, which is the ebook that that Lisa put together with all some of the Catholic Mom contributors who do the gospel reflections daily. Lisa, you want to tell us a little bit about that project, and then I'll tell people how they can win it.
Oh, I love that project, Allison. I have to say, we did the gospel reflections for all of last year on the website, and we decided this year to create an ebook out of it. And so we self-published As Morning Breaks, and the book is a daily look at the gospel for the day. We have a link directly from your Kindle version of the book to the gospel at the USCCB, so you can read that. And then there's a brief, just a little bit less than a page reflection by one of our team of 30 writers with their reflection, a reflection question to kind of ponder in your prayer, in your journaling, and then a short prayer. And I have to say that it's just a beautiful way to start the day. And our team is made up of people from lots of different perspectives, men and women, some married, some not. And so you get sort of just this, continually updated, view to kind of guide you through your reading of the gospel. And I just love that we're praying it with so many people. And I also love the fact that it's a 685-page book that you can buy for $2.99 on Amazon.
And it is a great gift. I discovered and actually wrote about it in one of my tech talks, how that you can give them away. I did not know that you could gift an ebook to somebody just by knowing their email. And I think I learned that from you, pretty sure. But I think that's fantastic. I sent it to a bunch of friends because, my thought was sometimes it's hard to hand somebody a hardcover book if they're kind of in the middle of their journey or just starting their journey. But sending them this email with the book, which is a phenomenal book, there was that no awkwardness of them, accepting the book, or, you just sent it and you just let God do with, the Holy Spirit work with it. So again, and $2.99 for a 600-plus page book, can't go wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, it's less than buying your friend a cup of coffee. So go for it.
And so I've also added that on to the giveaway this week, that I will be giving away one copy of the ebook As Morning Breaks, as well as The Grace of Yes, published by Ave Maria Press. They put out some good stuff.
Yeah, that we've had a great partnership with them. And, I have to say, really, for any of the moms that are out there listening, the line of CatholicMom.com books has just been a real blessing to a lot of people, so be sure to check those out.
Absolutely, and you can find them at Ave Maria Press or CatholicMom.com. Now, included with this book, one of the things, see, sometimes I have so many thoughts in my head, they just don't all make it out my mouth at the same time. One of the things I've loved about The Grace of Yes is that it's not just been a book that you put out and it's done. There have been a lot of amazing initiatives that have gone along with it. Aside from the online virtual book club, you also have a new initiative coming out, Your Yes for 2015, which I believe actually launched this week. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. This is something that we decided to do for the new year. And I think it came up as a result of watching. We had in the fall Grace of Yes Day on October 18th, it was November 18th. It was immediately yep. after the book came out, and we really encouraged people to share their yes to God through a viral campaign that was very fun to watch. So we decided for the new year, this is the time of the year that a lot of people are making resolutions, and unfortunately for me, I've had too many years where I repeat the same New Year's resolutions year after year because, I just am for whatever
I'm with
reason,
you.
I am a work in progress. And so I was really kind of reframing in my mind this year, am I going to write the same old tired things that I write every year, or is this going to be the year that I actually, do some of this? And what's my motivation for writing these resolutions? Like, is it personal? Do I want to look better in a pair of pants? Or, am I seeking to grow closer to God in my journey? So along with the publisher, I decided that I would do this 15-day challenge for the start of 2015. And for 15 days, I would really look at, you know, how am I going to give my yes in 2015? And then how can I invite others along on that journey? So it started on Monday, January 5th, and we're today, I've just published day 5 of this, but it's all being documented online on my blog at pathios.com. And so anybody at any point will be able to go back and start the days wherever they want to. And then what we're committing to is both this 15-day initial kind of kickstart of the campaign, and then also I'll be sending out a reminder on the 15th of every month just to invite people to circle back to their yes for this year and what progress they've made towards it. And so these first 5 days have been sort of about laying out, you know, what is your yes? I'm using the term yes the way that some people might use the word resolution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does that yes draw you into closer relationship with God? And we're just now starting to go through the 8 components that were discussed in the book and how those play into our resolutions for this year. So we'll go through it, and there'll be daily support and encouragement. Each of the 15 days of the challenge comes with a little bit of an essay that I'm writing to share what I'm thinking that day, and then mm-hmm. also reflection questions and a prayer to pray in community. And I've been really amazed by the community that's already growing up around this and how people are really connecting with the content.
I'd say I was motivated myself one of the days. I forget which day we were talking about Fitbits and steps. And I took my very lame Fitbit goal of 2,500 steps a day up to 5,000, which I realize is still quite much in that category of lame, but I was very motivated. And it wasn't about looking better in a pair of pants, but it was being a healthier person. And being a more fit person is somebody that's actually more able to then do other things like grow spiritually. So I think it's like so interconnected, which I think you've made that point in some of the things
that
you've written.
Well, first of all, I would dispute your use of the word lame, Missy. So get that. Take that word out of your vocabulary. And then the second thing is that's the exact kind of thing that I'm talking about, because one of the days we discussed having our SMART goals, so resolutions that are, let me find it, because I need to see it for myself, but that SMART acronym, when you set a resolution that it should be measurable and quantifiable, and that's what you did, you know, with your SMART goal mm-hmm. of for your Fitbit. You and I love the Fitbit, don't we?
We do.
But really, you know, how we can not just say, like, oh, my goal is to lose weight for this year, but mm-hmm. really how we're going to set up something that's measurable. And then also, in thinking about it in this yes context, how is it that that goal gets you closer to God? And you and I both know that the work that we do, it's strenuous, and, mm-hmm. you know, for us to be strong enough to do the work, we have to be in good physical condition. And so that means paying attention to what we put into our mouths and how we move throughout the day. And so for me, I'd contend that this is a way for us to break through in a resolution that maybe has been challenging to us in previous mm-hmm. years, because I might not do it for me, but I want to do it for God.
Exactly. Yeah. Another thing that was inspired to do through this, your yes for 2015, was to break my habit of going to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. My daughter started school this year and she gets up at 5:30. The bus is at 6, and I was putting myself back to bed. I thought, this is not, you know, I'm not accomplishing anything, and I'm feeling yucky throughout the day. So this is the first week in my life ever that I've put myself to bed before 11 o'clock, you know, without having the flu, of course. And I feel terrific. Like, I feel more alert. I feel more able. And I've been using that morning time where I used to sleep, been using it to pray the rosary, to spend time in the scriptures, and to read more spiritual reading, like the Grace of Yes.
Well, I think it's a great goal. And part of that is, you know, your service to your family, and for you to be more closely attuned to their schedule. And that's really, you know, it's going to be different for every person what it is that they're going to choose
exactly.
For their goals. But it really is causing us to be intentional about the way that we go through our days.
I like that word, intentional, because, you know, sometimes we can get so busy and we can get so wrapped up in what's like right before us or, you know, things that are coming. Sometimes we can get kind of caught, you know, chasing our tails. One of our callers yesterday actually asked us about hound rounding.
Was hound that wiping. In your...
When we come back from the break, you're going to have to explain to us that, for Stacy's sake, who called in yesterday, what that means. If you have any other questions, please join in the conversation at 855-949-1380. We are talking this morning with Lisa Hendy, the author of The Grace of Yes, 8 Virtues for Generous Living. This is A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Real Life Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. Lisa Hendy. And Lisa, we left off with me asking you, what is hound winding?
Everyone thinks that's another word that I made up. I actually heard that word in graduate school from a professor of mine, and he talked about, he said, I know a lot of you do hound winding when you do your papers and projects for me, and he talked about how, have you ever had a dog, Allison, where when they're getting ready to go to bed, they don't just walk over to their bed and sit down. They get in their bed and they go in circles till they get to exactly the right position, and then they plop themselves down. And he said, that's hound winding, and too many of you do that in your work. And I realize I am a big hound winder because, you know, when I'm getting ready to do work, you know, my coffee has to be just the right temperature, and I have to have a flavored candle lit, and I have to have the right lighting in my room. And, you know, how often, like, hound winding keeps me from actually getting my work done, giving yes to God in my work because I'm so caught up in all the minutia of how I think it needs to be just right, including in my prayer life, you know, morning mm-hmm. prayer, for example. Everything has to be just right or else I can't do it. And life is often not just right, so.
I've seen that too. I think like Skype issues. We're going to just keep talking. So have you ever seen that?
I'm sorry, you were cutting out. Did you ask me a question?
Yep. I've seen with people who are trying to, before people will actually open up their hearts to Jesus, they kind of do this themselves, this hound winding, where they think they have to have all their ducks in a row before they will actually, you know, begin the journey with Jesus. Have you ever?
Oh, yes. And I had this recently with a friend who, again, is thinking about coming back to church, and the friend was telling me, well, you know, we're researching parishes, and we're looking for this, and we're, you know, we're doing X, Y, Z, and we're looking into these classes. And I thought, you know what, come. Just come and, you know, figure out all the details, but don't wait to come. Come now. Because things mm-hmm. are not going to necessarily line up perfectly.
That's very true. You know, if we keep waiting for the perfect moment, we'll never take it, which I guess is how I understand this hound winding. We'll just keep trying to get it perfect, and we'll never get it perfect.
Right, and this desire, I mean, only God is perfect. I don't know. I'm never going to be perfect in my life. So if I'm waiting for that, I'm never going to get started. So the time to get started is now.
Absolutely. And in the chapter, The Grace of Humility, I think that was the name of it, you talk about this moment that you watched on YouTube with Matt Maher when he's singing, Lord, I Need You. What was it about that moment that, you know, really sparked something in your heart to make you watch it a dozen times?
I've probably watched that video hundreds of times now. And the moment happened at World Youth Day. Allison, you were there.
I was very blessed.
It's this incredible
to be there,
moment in a moment of Eucharistic adoration where Matt, I mean, a lot of us are Matt Maher groupies. I know I certainly am. And he is before the Blessed Sacrament on his knees playing his guitar. And this song is all about how we need God in our lives. If you don't know the song, please go. I don't know what CD it's on, but it's worth it for the price of the CD just to buy that one song.
I believe it's on the People Say Amen. I think that's the CD it's on, but yeah, Google it. You'll find it easily.
I'm trying to avoid bursting into out into song, which would not, we would lose all the listeners on the show. But it's just this incredible moment of, you know, you see him, you see the Blessed Sacrament, you see Pope Francis, you see bishops on their knees, you see a crowd of, what was it, like 2 or 3 million people on the
give or take.
And one of them is Allison. And it's just this moment where, you know, as a creative person, you can imagine, like, is there ever going to be a moment in your career where, you know, you're in a more heady situation than playing a moment like that? And there's such amazing humility in his presence in that moment.
I had the pleasure not only being in that moment, but a few weeks later won tickets to a house concert with Matt Maher and Ike Nundola. Talk about fangirl moment. And somebody asked, it was like a coffee house kind of concert where they were playing acoustically and they were answering questions. And somebody, he was going to play this song and he was telling us all about that moment on the beach playing in front of Pope Francis. And they're like, what was going through your head? And this is the humblest answer I've ever heard. He goes, all I was worried about was messing up Pope Francis's adoration time. I just didn't want to distract him. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and you just see, you see that humility in his presence there.
You really do. It's
that's
very
the way
humble.
I want to work for God.
Amen. He's amazing. God's amazing. And I love the line in scripture that says, only God is good. So
yes.
I keep remembering that. Only God is good. So what are you working on now? What's in the pipeline? What can we be looking for?
I hope you'll have me back next year when the project that I'm working on right now comes out. I'm actually in final edits on a great project that's with Franciscan Media. It's actually my first work for children, and I'm working on 2 children's chapter books. That are children's fiction related to time traveling and the lives of the saints. So this is going to be an entire series, and the first 2 books will be coming out together at once next fall. And it's just so exciting. It's something really new for me and really aimed at helping kids probably 2nd through 6th grade grow closer to the church and the saints, but have a great time while they're doing it.
Well, I will definitely have you back for that. We are actually doing some children's books. I wanted to do all kinds of different genre because I think that we can grow spiritually no matter what we're reading. But I love the idea of having the children's books that we can, as adults, use not only to grow ourselves, but to share with our families and with our children. So what was it like writing a children's book? Like,
well,
how did you get in that zone?
It's so fun. It's such a departure. The early chapters of the book, my boy's treehouse is still up in our backyard. So I actually wrote last spring the first drafts of this book. And you know that you go through several iterations with drafts, but those were all written up in the treehouse, which was an awesome place to write kids' books. And just to unleash your imagination and to put away, you know, the thesaurus and really to focus in on taking a message that I'm passionate about and distilling it down, you know, so that a younger reader can, you know, fall in love with the excitement of the lives of these saints. It's really incredible. So the first book relates to the life of St. Patrick, and the second book is St. Kateri Tekakwitha. So it's, you know, telling their stories through the prism of the stories of these children, brother, sister, twins, and it's just really an exciting project.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. I love those kind of books, and I cannot wait to get my hands on them. I'm glad they're coming out together. I don't have to wait for the second one.
Argument. I did, actually, because I know when my boys were reading books like, maybe you've read this with the Faith, those Magic Treehouse books. that it's like any kind of a book that belongs to a series, like they just can't wait to get their hands on the next one. And so, I mean, huge thanks to Francisca, because they're kind of going all in with this, and they've committed to the first two coming out together so that there can be that sense of, like, I can't wait to get the next one. I want to get it. So I really hope that classrooms will use the book and that families will really rally around this so that we can do more of these for our kids. They deserve great books.
Well, you know, you have my support. I'm literally just cannot wait to get my hands on these books, and I'm sure I will read them within one day. I read The Grace of Yes in one day. I was so excited. I'm going to remind people we are talking with Lisa Hendy, speaking of The Grace of Yes. This is the author. And if you have any questions for her, we'll leave a few more minutes, but it's 855-949-1380. Of course, we are going to be wrapping up. But if you have want to love to continue conversations, I think that, you know, we come together in these mediums, but it's not just this one time of being together. You know, we're journeying together. And I love that social media allows for us to come together. Do you find that your horizons are broadened through your social media work?
Absolutely, Allison. I mean, you and I, we're so blessed because our friendship grew for years. But I think before we had a chance to meet each other in person the first time. But it's funny people may argue this, but I believe it because I've seen it so many times in my life that true friendships can blossom there. And, you know, there's this sense when we met each other the first time in person that we already have this deep friendship. And I believe that's possible if we approach our use of social media with that perspective, that what we're looking for is not, you know, an artificial count of the number of friends that we have, but true friendship in Christ.
Mm-hmm. And I think that comes from being that's because I need a filter. And social media allows me to have that filter, but I try to be myself. And I've noticed that with those people I've been able to connect on social media and then in real life, it's the people who are authentic and are able to be themselves on that medium. So where else can we find you? How can we connect with you after this interview is over in a minute?
Some of my favorite places, Twitter. I'm at Lisa Hendy, which is Lisa, H-E-N-D-E-Y. And over at Facebook, I'm really working on using my Facebook page now more. So if you could come on over, and it sounds weird to say like me, but if you could like that Facebook page, that would be great. So I'm really trying to use that as a great tool in the new year for reaching out and sharing good things with people. And then Instagram. Love Instagram, at Lisa Hendy.
Well, I will have all of Lisa's social medias linked to the page. It's been a real delight.
Thanks, Allison. God bless the great work you're doing.
Thank you. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Real Life Radio. God bless you.